E1. Number 10B.
All right. We come to spirit. And in spirit, could I say that, for instance, spirit unfolds out of itself? Could we say that spirit unfolds out of itself? Well, let's first take spirit develops out of itself.
In this case, could you, since you're talking about in principle an idea on this level?
Yes, the level is, we had here principle and idea is one, huh? Yes, we had that sense, it must conform to that, huh? Yeah. So could you say that in this level we would be thinking about being developing itself out of itself?
No.
Out from itself?
No.
Why not? It is within. You see, developing means that something becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. It has also a time sense in it, huh? A time sense in it, because it's sequential. So, develop wouldn't be good. What about unfolds?
Does that imply that it's already there, it doesn't develop
it? Yeah?
Unfolding is an operative sense.
It's an operative sense, so that would be all right. Would it conform to be? Yes, unfolds. Yes, this is on the brink. Huh? It depends how you look at unfolds, because usually what we feel when we speak about something that is already there and only varies itself, we usually speak about evolves, and unfolds is usually a gradual showing forth. And therefore, that would not be suitable here because of B. Huh? See, again, we see how the human mind, because it likes unfoldment, it thinks that this is a divine quality. But in the divine oneness, you don't have unfoldment, because unfoldment means there is a start, which is not quite clear, which is not definite, which is not clear-cut, and little by little it unfolds or develops. I think nearer comes, if one wants to have it, evolves. Even that is quite on the brink. Huh? It evolves. Evolves really means, you see, something like that everything is there. And really all what happens is that according to the situation, things show itself forth. But they are all, it's already there. Huh? Everything is already there, pre-established.
You just before mentioned that there should be no time sense.
Yeah.
Well, couldn't be, you write this down under criteria?
Yeah.
See, no time or space sense?
Well, a space sense you must have. No time sense, huh? All right, we write under D, no time sense. But you have a divine space sense, huh? Because it's the all-embracing. Huh? That's a realm sense. If we don't like a space sense, we can say a realm sense, huh? The all which is in all, huh? Yeah? But no time sense in it. That's why we cut out develops. Huh? Actually, what happens is that spirit orders. Huh? That's really what it does. Huh? Because it is fundamental order. Huh? But what happens within the infinite withinness is that it constantly orders. That does not mean that it changes chaos into order. You see, it, so to say, reorders. Huh? That's the beauty of being. You can see that if being would not reorder itself constantly, you would just have one order, and that would give a static sense. But anyway, orders, would be a verb, not the plural of the noun. Is that a verb? Just to remind that it is the operative sense, and this is really what enables being to be constantly different. Though it's really the matrix sense that comes out here, that the matrix is that place of envelopment within which everything originates and takes form. It's a sense that, in a mathematical sense, really matrix, that you have your categories, but through constant reordering, you get new phenomena. You get it shows itself forth completely different, so that the all, capital A, becomes constantly a new all, small a. Is that clear? See? That's how principle is expressing itself as idea, without that the idea leaves its principle. So principle and idea still being one. Or you can say computes, perhaps. Computes. Just as in a computer you have all the data there, you don't have to feed in new ones. But what is happening is that they are constantly in operation and constantly have a new output and a new feedback. So spirit really is the computer, which then later on we will see is then showing itself forth as diversifying, classifying, individualizing everything. On that ground that the spirit blows where it listens. Just computes and computes out of itself.
You could then put diversified, classified, and individualized there if you wanted to?
Not really. Because that would, we will get that under spirit when we come to Christian science. Because it is a process that has a time sense in it. If you begin to classify an amorphous thing or a chaotic thing or something which is disordered, we begin to classify them. It's a process which has its implication to a disordered sense or a disclassified sense. Oh, how wonderful when this air conditioning stops. I wonder if that hum is on the tapes. I hope not. But we can't help it. We like to have it cool, Yes. So let's get to soul. And there again, actually, we don't find many others than we had. Could you say soul reforms everything out of itself? No. Soul transforms? No. There's nothing to be transformed. What do we have in soul?
Identity.
And we always come back to that identity. It's so, it shows us that this is such a rock bottom idea. A brass tax idea, you just can't get away. Therefore, it shows that identity is that term which comes nearest, really, to the synonymous term soul. Yes. So it identifies. Yes. Perhaps rules, but again, in the right sense, because ruling can also mean over something or somebody, and that wouldn't be right. Yeah. If you take principle, What could we have here in principle? Say, principle proves itself. No, not really, huh? It would be a question what we understand under the term proof. Because very often you can see proof as consistency. If something is consistent in itself, that can be accounted as proof. It isn't so much that proof is showing to somebody who is ignorant about the subject or does not know the solution and to give to them a proof. That wouldn't be the way. But very often in real science, you feel that the proof of the cake is not in its eating, but in its consistency. That is proof, if something is consistent within itself. And in that way, proving would be really right here, but as it is usually used in the other way of giving the proof to somebody, I think we leave it out here. What about that principle organizes itself out of itself? We have one no, and the other are quiet, mute, one no and one and 30 mute.
Does oneness need organization?
Yeah? Huh? If oneness has no organization, what does it have? Then it is in a state of a undefined, undifferentiated, amorphous oneness. It structures, huh? Yeah.
Organization human?
That's another point. You see, today we use organization in two ways in the sciences. In the old way, where you organize something or somebody. Huh? And that's naturally not the way. But organization today in the literature has become a great new idea. Namely, you remember yesterday or when it was, I was reading that up to now one had two constituents of being in the sciences, namely matter and energy. If you take, for instance, Einstein's equation, it's about matter and energy. But that one, with the cybernetic age, one found out that there is a third element or constituent, actually a new one, which is the only one, because that third one is organization. And actually, energy and matter are only states of organization. So that organization in the new way, namely of how things hinge together, the inner, is a great information. Very often information and organization is used as synonyms in the cybernetic language. It means that what is more important than the parts are the relationships, as we have seen in structure. And these relationships are manifold, multivarious relationships, and that's organization in the new terminology. So organization has nothing to do in organizing a business, in organizing a church, in a church organization or anything like that. It's a term that means that within being, in order that that being is kept in its stability or harmony, must have a organization communication, an organization information. And in that way, principle is really that which organizes. That's why this whole level of divine science could be called the law of self-organizing. So perhaps if we say principle self-organizes, see, if it had a self-organization, it would collapse. It would have no communication between the parts. It would have no relation between the parts. And if it had no organization, it would be static. So you can have self-organizers, or what you said, namely structures, structures. Again, it's a verb. Structures itself. Being is a structure. And did we have... we had in science itself, we had structure as a noun. That principle is the one structure, and now you have the operational sense of that structure as self-structuring, or else we would just have a static sense. And really this is what happens in being, that it self-organizes constantly. We have seen that structure brings forth structure out of itself. Remember how often we said when we went through the idea of structure, that structure brings forth structure. That structure is the seed within itself bringing forth structure. Well, this is the within itself. We have here this infinite oneness and withinness, showing that once we touch on structure, we find infinite restructurings. That's the great beauty we have been seeing in the development of the spiritual idea. Could you say, yes, you can, naturally, because it's the self-operative sense, that principle operates. That's really the pith of everything. A principle operates out of itself. Yeah. In a way, but this is already dangerous because we have these different applications, you could really also take governs. But then we have to be careful, because governing can be many things. For instance, usually one thinks about governing, that principle governs the idea, or God governs man. Now this would be wrong here. But you also have that in divine science God is all, and by governing himself, then you have governing in the right way. By governing himself, he governs all. He governs the universe. So governing could be right if one knows what is meant by it. And so I like to take this because it is one of the many, many, many terms that we will now encounter as we go on, that show how a term by itself, therefore atomistically, does not yield its right meaning. You see that? Taking a term like governs and taking it and putting it just down atomistically here, governs, does not give the right meaning. What gives to that term the right meaning, and now you come to structure, is that you see it in relationship to. If it's in relationship to God, then we can put it down here. If it's in relationship to the body, that principle governs the body, and we know that, then it's wrong. And this is the point which I ask you to make on a separate page, just one page with big letters, just one great note. And write down something which I just read a few weeks ago in the Stanford Observer. There was an article in it, Structuralism, an exciting theory about culture. And there they put also, just as a big title, the following, and write it down. Meaning depends on context. And underneath, meaning is relational. I put that into red and green and I don't know what, I never forget it. Because as we go on now, we can only go on if we remember that. Can you see what it means? That the meaning of the word, as we had here, governs. Depends on context. The word itself doesn't yield the meaning. It only yields, and now we come, you see, to structuralism, if we make it a point of intersection. Do you remember what structuralism meant? That it says it puts every problem into a point of intersection of categories. Here we have a term like governs, and if we see it in its relation to a specific category, and we define that category as divine science, then governs has its clear-cut meaning, namely that being governs itself. If we put that same term in the category of Christian science, then that term has another meaning, namely that principle governs the body, or governs matter, or governs people, or governs nations, something as an opposite of principle. Therefore, it is in relation to the opposite of principle. If we have governs in absolute Christian science, then governs is also right. But then it is defined through relation, meaning is relational. Huh? Its meaning is then defined through the level of absolute Christian science, which says that principle governs all, what? All ideas. Huh? Huh? See? So here we have, only here, we could go on. We have three different meanings of governing. We have the meaning of governing in divine science, principle governing itself. We have the meaning of governing in absolute Christian science, principle governing the ideas. The meaning of governing in Christian science, namely the principle governs something negative, like the body or people or nations or whatever it is. Therefore, if we would put down, I don't put it down, just for this reason now, we could put it down, but then we would have to remember constantly the structural sense of it. Huh? Meaning is relational. Huh? Therefore, in future, you will see that in discussing this idea, we can't anymore just answer with one word, like governs. We must put it, what structuralism asks, into relations. Because that's where structure starts. So that one must make a whole sentence. And only in making a whole sentence you can see if it is understood in the right context.
Could you put then principle self-governing or...
Yes, you could do that, yes. All right, you could put in self-governance. or governs itself. See, the moment you put self governs, you have already a relation sense. You limit your relations to the self. This is already a relational sense, namely, you relate govern to what? To self. Or if you say governs itself, you relate it to principle, and not to body and not to people.
Doesn't this apply to most of those words? Because they are different
yes.
At each level.
Yes, yes, not to all, I would say, but to many, like computes, I would think has no relation to error, for instance, but is a term that acts within itself. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.